actually only just come up with the name of my character, so luckily it's in the first person, you don't need to know his name at that point. You should also be aware that for the purposes of this reading, you'll have to imagine me as a teenage boy, so we'll just take it there. So, and this is chapter one. So here's the only thing you need to know about me. When I was 8 years old, I was the sole survivor of a plane crash that wiped out my family, killed an additional 152 people on board, plus an elderly couple who were asleep on their farm cottage, which was entirely demolished by a Sharda flying engine. I'm not saying that's the only thing about me. I'm human, I'm 15, I'm a boy, so trust me, there are lots of things about me. What I'm saying is that there is only one thing you need to know, because after that, nothing else matters. Because once you know that one big thing, all those other things vanish into a giant black cloud of irrelevance. I could tell you about the girls I dream about, or how I think Arsenal are playing this season, or how I long one day to have an incredible mohawk with blue tips, like the guy I once saw in the canal in Camden. But it wouldn't matter, because those things become freakishly trivial once you know the big thing, the thing that defines me utterly, that shapes every inch of my stupid life. You're making the face now, the face I've seen over and over again, because it's the face that all people make once they know the thing. Your forehead tenses at the temples, making your eyebrows come a little bit closer together, I think it's called furrowed, and the bottom lip pouts slightly, making the corners turn down. It's the crooked face of sympathy, often accompanied by a rush of blood to the cheeks and the relentless need to touch my shoulder. Always my shoulder, and sometimes you want your hand to rest there for a little bit. Like somehow, in some twisted world, touching my shoulder reverses time and makes everything just dandy fine. Kids are more interesting, unpredictable, because they haven't learnt the weird social mechanisms that their parents know. Mostly, they just clam up and take a step back from me like I'm contagious. It's like I have this dark aura, one kids are really scared of and want to back away from. It's the aura of death, I think. Adults recognise it and want to soothe it. Kids just run away because they think it might envelope them too. So school ends up really interesting. There are the geeks who have built up their legends and think I'm some sort of messiah superhero, you know, Clark Kent meets Bruce Willis. The bullies who treat the death aura like my personal bodyguard and stay away with a tense sort of respect. Leave him alone, boys, he's been through enough. And the girls who think they can wrap themselves into a pretty mother-sister person and hug it out, but not in a sex way, never in a sex way. And then the teachers have absolutely no idea what to do with me. I suspect they're lenient with my grades most of the time, and I'm pretty sure that if I tested it, they'd let me get away with murder without even a whiff of a detention slip. It doesn't matter that I'm a kid who's pretty smart, one who actually doesn't like getting into trouble or drawing attention to himself, because it's all tainted by that one big thing. Every opinion, every suggestion, every damn little thing that comes out of my mouth is hinged on the thing. As if I didn't actually ever exist at all before it, like I was born there, the spawn of wasted metal and engine fumes. There is nothing else to me, apparently. It's the only thing you need to know. She said hi to me today, and I don't know who she is. I mean, I know she goes to my school and is in my year because I've seen her in uniform and in assembly. But I think she's new because I don't remember her being around before the summer holidays. Don't think that I think saying hi is a big deal, because it isn't. People say hi to me all the time. But there was definitely something different about the way that she said hi to me, because I don't think I've ever heard her say it before, and yet it sounded like she'd said it a million times already. Her hi was totally, utterly normal, as in not said with a telepathic, I know all about the thing and I'm so sorry, is there anything I can do, or even just give you a hug, but not in a remotely sexual way, overtone. I watch her during lunch. She's friends with the Geese Girls. Danny and I call them that because they're a proper gaggle. But she's not as loud as them, not as tall as them, and she hasn't learnt that trick of rolling up the skirt in the cool way. But she eats her lunch with them and smiles with them, and I'm really pissed off that I have absolutely no idea who she is. That's Laurie, says Danny when I ask him over watery shepherd's pie and chips. He then asks why I want to know, and I just say that I want to know, and then Danny has to back off from asking me anything else because I look like I'm in a bad mood and can snap at any moment, because the thing means I'm liable to snap at any moment. I drink my Coke and think that Laurie is a bizarre name, mostly because I've never met a Laurie before and can't think of anyone famous called Laurie. After we eat, we go out to the playground, and the weather is still amazing and warm, despite it being the end of September, and we all pretend it's still the summer and exams are a zillion miles away. The others play football while I lean against the fence, supposedly watching, but really playing my DS, which I'm not meant to have on me, but who exactly is going to wrench it away from Thing Boy? Danny likes to show off his skills, dribbles and kicks like nothing in the world is ever wrong, whilst I lean back and burp up fizzy stuff from lunch, sometimes kicking out at imaginary pebbles at my feet. Why aren't you playing? It's Laurie, and she's standing right there next to me, and I didn't even notice her coming. Then I think she must be having a joke, because behind her are the geese, and they're all looking over like something hilarious is just about to happen. But I also think that Laurie is not the kind of girl who would do stupid jokes for the sake of it. And instead I wonder if the other girls are having a joke on her, not me. Perhaps she is totally naive, and the other girls have dared her to talk to me so that she ends up making a fool of herself when I start going off on one. So it takes a while to answer her. My legs are a bit messed up, I say, and nothing else. I think she's going to walk off, so I go back to my DS. It takes me a moment to realise that she hasn't gone away. That's a shame. Did something happen to them over the summer? And she says it totally cool, because I realise that nobody has told her or warned her about me. I look up at her and she's looking at me with these massive brown eyes, and I swear you can't even tell where the pupil ends and the iris begins. I can't believe that nobody has told her about me. I think that one, or maybe all of the geese, are being really mean because Laurie seems really nice and it's not fair to play around with her like she's a toy or something. Your friends are staring over here. I say it really flat, and she looks back over her shoulder just in time to catch the girls before they look away and pretend to be talking about something else. They said I should come and chat with you like it was a big deal or something, she admits. Yeah, that's because they're waiting for me to say something that will make you feel really awkward, and then they'll laugh at you when you actually do go all awkward. Those girls can be really stupid sometimes. She is completely confused, and I look behind her and the geese are staring again. I feel so sorry for Laurie and her not knowing, because she's basically being pranked, and I like a good joke as much as the next person, but I'm not sure that Laurie really deserves to be pranked or that anybody will actually end up laughing. So I start to walk away from everything towards the huts where teachers let some of the kids in the old years sit during lunchtime when they don't want to be outside, even when the weather is nice. And she's following me, or maybe she's walking with me. I can't really look at her for some reason, so I don't know whether she's behind me or next to me, but she's definitely with me, even though I didn't ask her. Because the weather is stunning, there is nobody else in the huts. It's just me and her alone, and Mr. Smith standing outside on patrol or something, but actually he's reading his book. Why are they staring at me then? She asks. I think they were staring at me more than at you. Some kids just like to have drama, you know? And I'm one of those dramas, except that the drama has been pretty quiet for a while and they just want a way to make it all dramatic again. I'm not sure I get it. That's because nobody has told you about me. Told me what about you? I think about not telling her because there is something really nice about the way that Laurie looks at me like I'm a completely normal person with absolutely nothing wrong with me. I realise that something special must be going on because she's spending time with the proper me and not the thing me, and my ears are really hot. Can I tell you another time, I finally say. And she says, of course you can, like it's nothing, and she can't even anticipate the hugeness of the thing that makes me so different and irrelevant at the same time. Lunchtime ends and school goes on and I can't get Laurie out of my head. It's actually the most infuriating thing ever. Because I've got maths and I'm pretty good at maths and I want to do well, but I just keep thinking about Laurie and her eyes every single minute and about how wildly naive she is. It's the first time I'm thinking about a girl in school that hasn't got huge tits or wears a skirt too short. I'm thinking about her saying hi to me like it was totally normal, and about her walking with me, regardless of whether it was next to or behind me, because I really like that I didn't have to ask her. She just came and sat in the huts because she wanted to. I'm thinking that I should think about asking her out, you know, what Danny will think about that, and then getting the courage to kiss her and everything next. All these stupid thoughts come into my head and entirely destroy my maths lesson. And the teacher even asked me a question at some point, but I completely miss what he said, so end up looking like an idiot in front of everybody, which is all I need on top of everything else. But like all the teachers, he must have presumed that I was thinking about the big thing, so he left me alone about it, and the other kids did too. I see Laurie at the school gates waiting with some of the geese, probably waiting for the rest of them, and I'm suddenly all self-conscious because I don't have Danny to walk home with. He's got football practice. And I don't want to look like a loser walking into town on his own, so I walk past her and keep looking down at the pavement because I'm not sure whether to say hi to her or not. And then she actually comes up right behind me and pokes me on the wrong shoulder, so I look the wrong way first. And then when I look back, she's suddenly right there in front of me, beaming. My friends wanted to know what we were talking about in the huts, she says. And I told them nothing, but they keep asking me questions about whether you really did tell me anything or not. I think you're right about the drama. She's talking really fast, like she's nervous. I look back at the geese and they're staring again. I'm walking home, I say, which way are you going? Towards the high street and then off down Hanley Crescent. And I say, I'm going down to the high street too, but then I turn the other way at the end. So that we're suddenly walking home together after school, like it's the most normal thing. Laurie does most of the talking on the way home, telling me about her family moving and how much nicer our school is compared to her old school, which had playing fields that anyone could walk across because it joined onto a park and nobody knew where the boundary line was. I don't mind her talking, even though she mostly just rambles about stuff, because it means I can just think about her and the fact that she has no idea about the thing. When we get to the high street in the corner of Hanley Crescent, where I know she has to turn to get home, she suddenly suggests that we go grab a coffee and keep talking, because her house is still a huge mess with boxes. She can't really face going in there just yet because her mum will nag and nag about unpacking. So there's a Starbucks nearby, which I've been into a few times, but every time I've always been really nervous looking at all the different types of coffee. So I've ended up just ordering a hot chocolate because you can't go wrong with that. And she goes ahead and orders the most complicated thing you can imagine, and I'm totally impressed. Is it time for you to tell me about the drama then? She asks when we sit down. She says it just like that, really forward, and I nearly burn my tongue taking a sip of hot chocolate far too quickly. She then points out that none of her friends, or mine for that matter, are around, so nobody is going to get embarrassed or awkward, and that I could tell her the most freaky thing possible, and she promised to sit exactly where she was and be totally open-minded. She makes me smile by saying these things, and I look at her lips, which are pink and shiny, and wonder if she'll let me kiss her later, and whether or not she'll taste good after having the most complicated coffee imaginable. So I tell her, and she gets the face, and her arm twitches like she wants to come and stroke the death aura off my shoulder. Full on, eyebrow furrowing, lip pouting, even some tears in her eyes. I watch it happen in slow motion as I tell the story, the same way I've told it a million times before to doctors, nurses, police, investigators, social workers, counsellors and journalists. It's a well-rehearsed script after 7 years. And I know that as I'm telling her about it, everything else she was thinking about me before has become completely irrelevant and lost under the swarm of plane crash horror bugs. The fantasy that was doodling itself away in my head all afternoon gets scribbled out as she turns from the naive Laurie I met at lunch to a Laurie goose, and it hurts. And as my voice fades away, her hand actually comes out to my shoulder. It's a touch that should have me zinging all over, but instead it just feels really cold and dull.